Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Is Sunday about assessing what Joe Flacco looks like, or is it just full go, let this offense, you know, ride and, you know, you'll make adjustments with the weeks following? Because part of this is, I think, determining what a leash for Joe Flacco looks like. I don't think this is just, all right, it's week one, you're fully committed to, obviously the team's going to be fully committed to that, but I think when we look at quarterbacks, they're going to be having to evaluate more of not just, oh, it's all about, you know, winning, and Joe gives you the best chance to win weeks 1 through 12, so we let Joe play weeks 1 through 12. I think that this is part of evaluating what a leash for Joe Flacco looks like. I'm going to go out there and look how Joe plays against what should be a bad defense, and at age 40, where I kind of know what you're going to give me, I have a pretty good understanding of it, but there's obviously room for just falling off a cliff and not looking like the same quarterback you did even 2 years ago. It's not a safe assumption to say Joe's going to be the exact same guy that he has been and has continued to be, and I'm just going to assume that's going to be Joe Flacco. Yeah, I think that there's a good chance you get that same guy, but I don't think you can just consider it fact and make it the only thing that there is. I need to see what Joe Flacco actually has out there. Like, I'm using week one as a true evaluation. I'm not going to pull him after one game. This is not start Joe Flacco for 1 week. If it looks bad, just call it quits and go to Dylan Gabriel. But again, I think this is a good opportunity to establish a leash. If Joe goes out there and lights up the Bengals defense, you come away from it saying, okay, that is a bad defense in the NFL. I'm not taking it away as Joe is once again recreating the magic of 2023 just because he scores points against the Cincinnati Bengals. But I do think that if he goes out there and lights it up, it at least changes your mindset to be, all right, well, if Joe can go out there and do that against bad defenses, Joe probably deserves to show if he can do it against good defenses. So I'm going to go out there and at least let him play. Again, the first six games, I'm not going to cut him off at four, and then maybe we'll do an evaluation from there. If Joe goes out and he looks bad against the Bengals and the offense can't move against Cincinnati, the leash already begins to shorten for me. Like, I'm already down to, this is now closer to 4 to 6 games. Like, you might still get that 6 games in evaluation period. There's a real chance that I'm pulling the plug after 6 games. And there's a chance where if it continues to look this bad, I might be pulling the plug after 4. Because again, so much of this season should be based on, I need to see the rookie quarterbacks. I get it. You want to win football games. I don't think that you can just go out there and fully commit to, well, this is going to be the best possible team that we can put out there, and we're just going to continue to try to win. Joe Flacco is there to win games. He's there to put you in a competitive spot. If the offense can't move with Joe, I'm going to figure out if it can move with anybody else. So, again, I'm using the Bengals as sort of a measuring stick. It's going to tell me how quickly I need to evaluate Joe. It's not the end-all be-all. If you come out and look bad against the Bengals, you have redemption opportunities. I'm letting you play against the Ravens. I'll let you play against the Packers. But if it's bad through 3-4 weeks, I can't go out there and just say, well, I mean, maybe we'll get some wins as the schedule lightens up. You're in desperate mode for wins right now. I get it. Joe gives you the best opportunity. Joe's going to continue to give you the best opportunity to win football games. But that's the only thing there. It's the only reason Joe Flacco plays football right now. It's because he gives you the best opportunity. Sure, he might create a little bit of a buffer. Sounds to me like if you want Dylan Gabriel to be your backup quarterback, you're okay with Dylan Gabriel having to step into the game at any moment's notice. You might not want him to start, but you say, if he steps in, we trust him enough. I don't have to go get another veteran. Okay, well, if I trust Dylan to step in, it's going to be eventually trusting Dylan to start. And as soon as Joe is proving to me he can't win football games, he can't make you competitive. It's not just about beating the bad teams. Right? Congratulations if you can go out there and beat the Miami Dolphins, who admitted they're basically, you know, rebuilding at this point. Congratulations if you go out there and if I believe you could beat the Tennessee Titans. It's not all about just how many wins you can put on the board for me. It's about making sure that this team is actually competitive. Joe is there to try to get you to, best case scenario, a playoff spot. Anything other than that with Joe Flacco playing quarterback is a loss. You don't make the playoffs. It is a loss if Joe Flacco is still your quarterback. So, I'm out here evaluating Joe on that metric. Until Joe doesn't provide me with the playoff spot, he's my starting quarterback. But as soon as he puts me in a position where that's not going to be the case, I have to take an honest look in the mirror and say, is this really about just putting everything into winning football games, that all that matters here? Or do I actually need to evaluate the rookie quarterbacks and give them an ample amount of space to be evaluated? Again, like, I need to figure out if Joe can cut down on the turnovers. I need to figure out if he can still be the quarterback that he is. I think that starts with week one. And as unfair as it might be for Joe, you're sort of under a microscope from the beginning. I'm not just coming into this one, especially if I'm the front office or I'm Kevin Stefanski, with a big smile on my face and being like, well, we have a starting quarterback. And then slowly allow that to be phased out and be like, well, maybe we don't actually have one. You're under the microscope from week one. You are being evaluated as if your job is on the line from week one. Even if it's not, it does come down. It has to act as if it is. Joe might have won the starting job, and that's good news, and Joe's named a captain. It's not just all about Joe winning the games. Again, you have to look competitive. If you just lose against the Ravens, you make it look competitive. You lose against the Packers, but it looks competitive. I have faith for Joe to keep extending the lead. It's not just, you know, wins and losses. At the end of the day, that's what it's boiled down to. But I can trust you a little bit if you lose a couple of close games and show me that the offense can look good under you. Again, the leash is a dynamic thing that I think is going to be adjustable within the first, you know, 2 to 3 weeks. And then it really comes to, when does the evaluation really start? But it's true microscope look for Joe. You look bad week one. I'm tightening this thing. I might be pulling you out very early on into the season. And I say, all right, four games down, I still got 13 to go. Hey, that is ample amount of time to give Dylan Gabriel. And if he can't get there, it's an ample amount of time to get Shador into the mix and figure out if I have a quarterback. Right? We started off the show talking about, you know, can you do the 2025 evaluations and look forward to 2026? The quickest way to get to your evaluations is to get the guys onto the field. Like, get Dylan out there, get Shador out there, and I'll have my evaluation. Is he ready to play in the NFL? Is he ready to help this team be competitive in 2026? It's interesting to have drafted Shador, not just because I know they draft guys based off of value, and that's how this organization operates, but it's interesting enough to look at Shador and for them to draft him and then turn around and say, well, he's a developmental project. But you told me this entire thing for this year, in moving forward with this team, was not a developmental project, that you were looking for this team to be competitive this year and especially in the years going forward. So you should have drafted quarterbacks that get me to that spot. And eventually Shador is going to have to be that. And it's going to have to be this season. But if I want to figure this thing out, again, is Joe not winning me games and he's not putting me a spot to look like I can be competitive against other playoff teams? All right, well, unfortunately, the door is there for Joe Flacco after a few games. It's open, and it starts with week one, but I'm also then turning it and saying, I need an evaluation of the rookie quarterback. So if Joe's not getting the job done, that needs to start earlier than later. I need to eventually get to Dylan, and I need to get to Shador, and I need to have the widest sample size possible to see those two guys. And it starts as soon as you're not winning football games, and as soon as you look like you can't be competitive against playoff teams, that's where that evaluation process begins. So I think if you're doing anything else other than putting Joe under a microscope in this game and saying, can you protect the football? Can you at least light up a bad defense? When you get to week two, if you do so, can you make it look competitive against the Ravens? Even if you don't win, can you still look like the offense has any bit of life? But hey, the microscope should be on. Like this entire season, it doesn't really matter what the quarterback is, right? If it's Joe, if it's Dylan, if it's Shador, hell, if Bailey Zappi gets into the game at some point, the microscope should be all the way on. You are in quarterback finding mode. But this isn't just about getting the evaluation of the two guys you have. It's about determining whether or not I need to go get one in 2026. The fastest way to determine that is if Dylan and Shador stink, I know I have to go get one. Or I can turn my sights off of that if one of them proved to me you can be a franchise quarterback and you have things that you're showing that say I can win football games and I can make the Browns better. It's an uphill battle from the start. For all three quarterbacks in the room, it is an uphill battle from the start. Nobody is saying that you're playing on an even fighting ground right now with the guy who is looming in the future, potentially taking your job. You're already fighting a losing game. The last thing I want to do is put you through eternal warfare if I'm the Browns fans going with Joe Flacco. Right? I don't want to go through eternal warfare of being like, well, hopefully they can win this week and hopefully they can win this week. And just going through and watching the same product over and over again. I have faith that Joe can be all right. There's obviously no faith that Joe is going to lead you to a Super Bowl this year, the same way that there's no faith that I think either of the rookie quarterbacks would ever lead you to a Super Bowl this year. But I don't want to just continue to see Joe try to put the best product out there. I don't want to go through eternal warfare of watching him consistently basically get punched in the mouth over and over and over again for the sake of, well, maybe we can win games when it gets easier. I'd rather have the young guys go through their punches too. And I'd rather the young guys go through more punches than Joe has to go through. Because there's going to be a battle test there. Those guys are going to have to live up. And they're going to go through rough patches whether or not they're playing on an even field or not. So I know the rough patches are coming for them. And the rough patch should never come for Joe. It's why I don't need to ever see 8 games of Joe Flacco and be like, all right, week 9, you get your bye week. That's where I'm looking to turn it. It should be shorter than that if Joe's not doing the job that he needs to be doing. Joe's 40. Joe's been there. He's done that. He's not playing a fair game. None of the quarterbacks are. It's about giving the other guys an unfair opportunity, but an opportunity to go out there and prove something, to fight against all odds and say, don't go draft one in the first round. But we all know the most likely quarterback is right now playing for their college team on Saturdays. That's the most likely franchise quarterback for you. I need somebody to prove it. So yeah, Joe's under the microscope right off the rip. 216-474-0092. Is Sunday about assessing what Joe Flacco looks like? Or does he have clear ground to work with and you're just happy to see him out there and week one is not the end-all be-all? You know what's going to be on X? At Volnick Jake. V-O-L-I-N-E-C. Jake, it's a Blind Tier Tuesday and we get to it in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. We bring in our very own Cleveland Sports Beat reporter, Daryl Ryder, brought to you courtesy of Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, what's going on?
Just getting ready for game week. It's finally here, right?
I mean,
exciting time of year.
Yeah, Daryl, I
play some real football on Sunday.
This is the point in the season. Like we walked in today, and the butterfly started to hit the stomach a little bit because it finally feels like it's here. It's like, okay, we're getting shows ready for the Browns to play on Sunday. And it's the most exciting time. Football comes back. It's the time that I get most excited for.
Had a full helping of college football over the weekend, and we get the NFL back, including the Browns on Sunday. Well, the NFL starts Thursday night, obviously, but the Browns get into gear on Sunday. We'll be out in Berea tomorrow. First official media availability of week one when it comes to getting to talk to Joe Flacco. We'll get to hear from him, amongst others. But yeah, it's starting to feel like football season has finally arrived, and it's an opportunity for everybody to get real excited.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Daryl, you mentioned obviously college football starting this weekend. Where we got some... at least slightly surprised visits from Browns members out at Texas, Ohio State. Kevin Stefanski, Andrew Berry, Jimmy Haslam all out at the game. Jimmy specifically being out there to you, does that signal anything, whether it would have been Jimmy out there or just Andrew and Kevin?
Well, I want to know why it was it a surprise. Worst kept secret, they're in a market for quarterback next April. Of course, they're going to be at these games. Like it's not a surprise that the Browns were down in Columbus this past weekend. Jimmy Haslam made a couple other stops as well. But yeah, I mean, this is what they're going to do for the next 3.5 months or so. They're going to be hitting the scouting trail and to find the player that they want to go after next April in the draft, assuming that Dillon Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders do not do enough over the next 4.5 months or so here to convince them that they don't need to explore the quarterback thing. So, and I think that that's grossly unfair to expect either one of those players to go out there and do it, considering one's a third round pick, the other's a fifth round pick. And, the way it goes with grooming quarterbacks in the National Football League, it's part of the reason I asked Catherine Raich, Catherine Hickman, the assistant GM and VP of football operations on Monday about that. Right, you got such a condensed window here to figure out if Shedeur and Dillon can do it, and if not, you got two picks and you're out shopping. Like, how do you guys make that determination in such a short window when? You have guys like a Josh Allen. It took him 3 years to get going. Patrick Mahomes didn't start as a rookie, right? Lamar Jackson took a little bit to get the engine running there in Baltimore, right? And then you get, situations like happened last season in Washington. But it's just I don't know how they make a fair and comprehensive evaluation on two mid-round draft picks that are quarterbacks this season when neither one of them are starting this season. And again, you got those two first round picks sitting in your hip pocket next April.
Hey, Daryl, does it open up the Browns for more criticism at that point for taking the two quarterbacks? Like it feels like it becomes even more clear now with them out and evaluating quarterbacks that the timing of it with everything that's played out just isn't going to happen. It feels like the window to make the wrong choice of either keep these guys and not let it go too far or, make a decision too early is increasingly getting bigger and bigger the more and more time that passes in decisions they make for this year.
Look, they got to take as many swings at it as they can, right? If you miss, you got to go back and go back at it, right? You can't just sit and lick your wounds and cry about it. So I'm not going to sit here and be a hypocrite and criticize them for drafting multiple quarterbacks this past April and trying to take as many swings at this thing as they can. They have to do it. Now, the methodology, the players that they selected, yeah, I'm going to criticize that. But, they're just in a spot right now, and it's the same spot they've been for the last 26 years, where they just got to take swings until they can find the guy. They haven't found the guy as of yet. Remains to be seen again if they have found the guy in Gabriel or Sanders. Most likely odds are not, again, just because it's not fair to expect that a third or a fifth round pick all of a sudden is going to be your franchise quarterback. That just, I don't know that that's fair. It can happen. It has happened. But again, we're speaking in terms of being fair about the situation. Yeah, I'm not going to criticize them because they're trying to get as many looks at guys as humanly possible to figure out whether or not they struck gold.
Daryl, hey, we looked at the quarterbacks who obviously were available this weekend in college. Way too early evaluation, but was there a single one that surprised you of one of the potential first-round picks for next year?
No, not really. And here's the thing. I mean, look, you're seeing the byproduct of and the current college climate, right? NIL, the transfer portal, right? The days of guys spending two, let alone three, maybe 4 years, right, in a system with a coach at a university, those days are long gone. They're very rare, right? So I think that part of the byproduct is a lack of development. Now, I've asked this question in the past to Andrew Berry. He has disagreed with me. He does not view it as a negative, including with the quarterback competition. I will respectfully disagree with him because I think with a young player, you need stability. You need a system. You need all those type of things that come with both of those options, right? And playing for the same coach and whatnot. And there was a piece on The Athletic published today about young quarterbacks in the National Football League and just how the NFL tends to fail the young quarterbacks in the National Football League. Zach Kiefer wrote it, and the premise was exactly that. It's not that young quarterbacks are failing, it's the organizations are failing them, and oh, now let's go through how organizations fail them, right? And they're just there's no patience in the NFL because it's high stakes. Well, there's also it's becoming a similar thing in college football these days, right? There's a lot of money involved with NIL. It's high stakes business these days, I just think that when you're talking about setting yourself up for success. I really do hope the Browns are able to stick with Kevin Stefanski and to some degree Andrew Berry so that when they do draft that quarterback next year, that young guy's got a chance to make it and have Kevin for 2 or 3 years rather than, oh, had Kevin for 1 year or half a year, then had to deal with an interim guy or then went on to coach number two, right? In a situation like Baker Mayfield ended up with where I forget specifically, but like, I think he had like 5 in 4 years or something like that. Including interim from like a coaching situation. And that just doesn't set a player up to be all that successful.
Daryl Ryder, our very own Cleveland Sports beat reporter with us here on the hotline. Daryl, let's turn our attention to week one coming up here on Sunday against the Bengals. Your key for success for the Browns if they actually look to get a win, what's the biggest thing to do?
Well, I'm not so much worried about the defense because, look, the Bengals are the one team in this division, the Browns, beat with regularity, okay? Myles Garrett owns them. In fact, I think the Bengals are going to be in his Hall of Fame speech as far as a thank you goes. Right? Death taxes and Myles Garrett strip sacks Joe Burrow twice in a game. Like, I mean, that's just the way it goes, right? So I think the ultimate key to success for the Browns on Sunday is going to come on the offensive side of the ball. And what is Joe Flacco going to be able to do passing the ball in the air? Because I'm not convinced, even though the Browns want to ground and pound it, I don't know that they're going to be able to do that right now. So I think a little bit more goes on Joe Flacco's shoulders. You know, how does he come out of the gate? He looked good in training camp. He looked good in the preseason. Can he come out of the gate hitting the ground running? Can this passing attack get it going? There's not a lot of expectation beyond Jerry Jeudy when it comes to this receiving core. Who in that receiver room can step up and make plays, right? Can David Njoku get off to a hot start? Maybe Harold Fannin, who's kind of my dark horse to have a really massive season for the Browns as a rookie in a third-round pick. Maybe he can, do something there. So that, to me, the passing game of the Browns and the success of the passing game, I think, is going to determine whether or not they start the season 1-0 or 0-1.
When we talk about Joe, Daryl, is he sort of under a microscope almost from a Browns perspective, like from the actual team? Is is week one, I guess, going to be part of the evaluation that would change how long you're going to leave him in getting a measuring stick of what the offense looks like with him in there?
Yeah, no, I think you got to stick with Joe for at minimum four games, okay? Because what can you determine in one game, right? We're going to do it, and I'm going to be just as guilty. I'm not going to shy away from that, right? We're going to overanalyze this thing after it's played, and we're going to criticize what did not go well. We'll praise what did go well, right? If Joe goes out there and he doesn't have a great day, that doesn't mean he's washed. Now, if he plays four straight games and he's had four straight poor games, then you might say, okay, it might be time to try a little something different. But I don't know that Sunday is the ultimate referendum on whether or not Joe Flacco is going to have a successful season.
Reports are Quinshon Judkins could sign as early as this week, and Browns are hopeful that that would be the case. Is it possible if he signed, let's say, Darrell A., if we get some surprise announcement at 10 p.m., I doubt it. But or even early on tomorrow that he signed, possible that he's out there on the field week one against the Bengals, or you think that's just too early?
I think it's hard to tell. Because, I have no idea what shape the kid is in. Remember, he's the new franchise running back per se, right? He's running back one, and you don't want to jeopardize that either, okay? I think that the Browns, whenever they sign him, whether that's later tonight, whether that's tomorrow, whatever, whenever that signing occurs, I think they kind of have to handle that situation with kid gloves as far as getting him ramped up, because he hadn't been on the football field since minicamp, and he didn't have training camp, so they got to kind of, I think you almost have to treat it like a player coming back from injury, where you have to ramp him up, right? You don't want him to do too much too fast, because then you exacerbate the injury, and you, a lot of times you end up back to square one, or even worse off than where you were. So with Quinshon, I think that they need to handle the situation with kid gloves as far as his participation on the field, ease him back in. Regardless if he's on the practice field tomorrow or not, I don't know what condition he's in, and I don't know how smart and safe it would be to play him on Sunday against the Cincinnati Bengals.
Again, Daryl Ryder with us here, courtesy of Scheiben Jewelers. Daryl, Isaiah Bond obviously now has a couple weeks under his belt, at least being on the Browns roster and being on the payroll. Big role in the offense week one, or you think this takes a lot of time for him to actually take a spot if he's going to earn it?
Oh, no. I think he's going to have the intended workload. Kevin Stefanski's been very complimentary on his picking up the offense in rather quick fashion. The shape that he came to town in was exceptional. He's looked good on the field, on the practice field there. He looks like he belongs. He looks like he fits in very well. So, whatever role Kevin Stefanski has designed for him on Sunday, I don't expect to be any limitations on him, if that makes sense.
Daryl, I'll get you out of here with this one. We look at, he gave us your dark horse for a rookie to have a great season, Harold Fannin. Obviously, other than the two rookie quarterbacks, because we're not going to see them, hopefully, on the field in week one, who would be your guy from a rookie perspective that you would expect to have a slower start out of the gate than anybody else?
I don't have that. Well, I don't really have that expectation. Mason Graham, Carson Schlesinger, both I expect to hit the ground running, right?
Yeah.
I'll say Dylan Sampson. I'll say Dylan Sampson because he hasn't caught my attention. That's not to say that he hasn't performed capably, but I haven't had a wow moment watching him yet. So I'll say Dylan Sampson of the rookie class. The rest of the main characters there, Mason Graham, Carson Schlesinger, Harold Fannin, I expect them to be fine. Kind of hard to really say much about the two rookie quarterbacks, as you alluded to. So yeah, I'm gonna go with Sampson.
Yeah, I mean, Daryl, I'm basically in the exact same spot. I was looking around the rookie class. I like them a lot. I even like Sampson. Like, hey, it's not even that big of a knock to put him there. It's just, I think he's going to probably be in a role that he wasn't supposed to be in, and without the Quinshon Judkins complimentary.
Right.
So I'm in the exact same spot as you are. So
I kind of feel like that there's a lot of spots on this roster, right?
Yeah.
You know, from a from the receiver room to the running back room, like it's I kind of feel like there's a lot of guys that are a ladder rung higher than they really should be, or where they specialize, if that makes sense. That doesn't mean that they're not good players. They're not great players. But, you know what I mean? Like, I as good as Jerry Jeudy is, I don't consider him to be wide receiver one. I think he's wide receiver two. But because of where the Browns are at in their team-building process, he is wide receiver one. And he's coming off a wide receiver one production-type season, 1,000 yards, Pro Bowl season, right? Best year of his career. But I think that he's best as a wide receiver too, and kind of same thing. The junked situation has forced them to, you know, I don't know that Jerome Ford is a running back one. I don't know that Dylan Sampson's a running back two. But here we are entering week one. Ford's running back run. Sampson's running back two.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, Daryl, I agree with you on all fronts. Hopefully when we talk next week, we have something positive to look back on the Browns, and I'm just going to continue to cross my fingers for that to be the case.
Yes. 1-0 starts are much better than 0-1. And we've seen way too many of those in the last 26 years.
Yes, we have. Daryl, I appreciate you a ton. Look forward to talking to you next week.
You bet.
Daryl Ryder, our very own Cleveland sports beat reporter, brought to you by Scheib & Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.